You know I'm right. The podcast that uncovers origin stories of some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, and so much more. Nick Durst here along with Joe Calabrese. And Joe, our guest today, first for us, someone who is a veterinarian.
Yeah, very first. He's here to shake things up a little bit. Hope he likes that one. You might know him from his time when he was on Love is Blind season two, competing on House of Villains. But yes, he is also a veterinarian and a mortgage loan officer here to shake up the podcast and doing a little drive over there. But we'd like to welcome Dr. Shake Chatterjee to the program. Shake, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's shaking?
What's up, guys? Yeah, thanks for having me. This is definitely a first for me, a driving podcast, but you know, the Tesla pretty much drives itself. So I think we're in good shape to get this rolling.
I'd like to own a Tesla someday. All right. So let's start with your career as a veterinarian. When did you decide to pursue that career and attending the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and then the University of Minnesota?
Oh, you guys did your homework. Nice. So I had a neighbor growing up that is a veterinarian, and he still is to this day. I ended up in high school kind of shadowing him, then getting a job working at the animal hospital, you know, as like an assistant, cleaning the cages, and kind of moved my way up to, you know, more responsibility there. And, you know, I was inspired then seeing, so Dr. Ristich is his name, Sam Ristich. And I was inspired then seeing how he could take care of any animal that came in the door. So not just the dogs and cats, but, you know, exotic birds and reptiles, snakes, you name it. So I was like, all right, this is pretty badass. I mean, humans are kind of boring, kind of lame, you know, at the end of the day. Plus, I mean, humans just kind of suck. Like, humans are capable of lies and manipulation. And I'm like, all right, I don't want to deal with humans as much. You know, I always appreciated that animals are kind of like innocent beings. And, you know, they add so much to our lives as pets. So I was like, all right, you know, I think I'd rather use my powers, whatever they may be, to help animals over people.
There you go. So we have some healing powers there, of course. And I guess that's, you know, what kind of makes you a great catch. How'd you end up on Love is Blind? Didn't seem like from the little we knew about you, like that you'd be a guy that was like, let me try to go on reality TV to find my love here.
Oh, you didn't think that? You know, I guess people assume that I went on there for other reasons. But, you know, I really did go on there thinking I could find somebody special. You know, I was season two, I'd seen season one. I was like, all right, this kind of works. I didn't watch season one until after they'd already kind of said, hey, we want you on season two. So I had to like go back and see like, what is this? Is this something I even want to do? But they kind of found me at a vulnerable time in my life. I had just gone through a breakup, and one where the girl had cheated on me, and I was just like feeling pretty down about myself. That basically they found me when I was feeling down, and they were just so flattering. They're like, oh, you're so handsome, you have such a great job, we want you on this, we think you'd be great.
So
on
they
this.
Came to you is what it sounds like.
Yeah, basically. And you know, I didn't apply, I didn't go looking for it. They just kind of pushed me along, you know. They initially reached out on Instagram in the form of a DM where it was just like a conversation. And then, you know, it was this woman that had reached out, and eventually I'm like, yo, so like, you want to get a drink or something? Or like, you know, like, and then she's like, well, actually I'm a casting director for this show, and I would just really love it if you could speak to some of the producers, if you could like jump on a Skype call next week. So I'm like, all right, let me see what this is all about, you know. And this was kind of like in the beginning of COVID too. So I'm like, all right, what else is going on? I'll just check this out. And then the guy I spoke with after that, that's when like the flattery really started. I remember saying at the end of that initial interview, I'm like, whether the show happens or not, those are the nicest things anybody's said to me in a long time. So
Right.
thank you. Like it just, you know, when you're feeling kind of bad about whatever circumstances and somebody's kind of just telling you all these positive attributes about you.
Yeah, they buttered you up. They told you exactly what you wanted to hear, and you probably went into this thinking, all right, maybe I find a lover or people like me. But are you surprised that you ended up kind of being portrayed as a villain? I mean, you're probably just being yourself, and then you kind of maybe get like a bit at it, and then from there, after the show, you end up a little while later on House of Villains. Were you surprised to get cast on that too? Because I watched that show, and you were definitely the nicest guy in the house.
Yeah, well, you know, as far as Love is Blind, I didn't really think I was going to be the villain during the filming. I had a great time. Like, it was fun. It was my first time ever being a part of something like that. And by season two, you know, after the success of season one, they had like really, from what I've heard anyway, compared to season one, they had like amped everything up. Season two was filmed in LA versus season one in Atlanta. Like, it was like the big leagues of reality shows, right? And it was a fun experience, and I had a really good time. Didn't really know I was going to be the villain per se, because during filming, like, I'm, you know, my personality is just one to joke around and have fun with everything. So, like, even during the filming, I'm joking around about everything because that's just who I am. Like, I'm
Yeah.
not like being super serious because that just wouldn't be me. I'd be acting at that point. And I had the camera guys laughing, the lighting guys laughing. So I'm like, they're like, oh, this is going pretty well. Like, you know, everybody's, you know, entertained by this and just, you know, sees the humor that I see in whatever situation we're in. But unbeknownst to me, I was just at this time giving them plenty of material to, I mean, I'll put it this way. Everything I said that you saw on the show, I said, but some of it was taken out of context quite a bit. Like, for example, like some of the conversations I had in the pods, like when I'm talking about, oh, do you like working out? And they, you know, they cut to Hope, who, you know, who's an awesome girl. You know, we're still friends to this day, but she's, you know, she's a little bit more overweight. And that conversation wasn't even with her, you know? So they're making it seem like, oh,
Right.
Shake, how, you know, what an insensitive dude bringing this sort of stuff up with, you know, first of all, not that I would have even known if she, you know, if whether she was in shape or not, or whatever it was, you know, kind of got switched around. The can I get you on my shoulders thing, obviously that was like a pretty viral thing, and I did ask that question, but I asked it like way later in the dating process, and they made it seem like it was like the first question out the gate. I'm like, so you know, but like, here's a little trick they use. So the outfit that we wear on day one, we call it the day one outfit, we wore that like for the entire first week, and I didn't understand why they just keep having us wear this day one outfit. But then I realized it's so they can take conversations that are like much deeper into the process and
Yeah.
make it look like you brought it up on day one. You know what
Yeah.
I mean? I'm like,
Yeah.
damn, see, I wouldn't have thought of that. You know, that's stuff you only realize after the fact, right?
Yeah, so much easier to make edits.
Exactly. But I would say by the time of the reunion, because that's when we had seen the show come out. So for our season, the show had already come out by the time we filmed the reunion. And now I'm like, I'm very clearly a villain.
Yeah.
And not only is social media coming at me, but my own castmates are shunning me because of I'm the villain, right? I'm the guy to like, you know, and I'm like, fuck this. Like, this is bullshit at this point. And so I just became a villain at that point. I'm like, all right, if this is how you guys are gonna do me, then I'm just gonna point out all the bullshit from the show that I've realized.
Yep.
Because at that point, it's like no matter what I do or say, people aren't gonna love me, you know? And I'm like, all right, I don't even care then, you know? Like,
Classic
I'm just
heel
gonna
turn.
ex I'm gonna ex expose the show. What'd you say?
So the classic heel turn,
Heel
like in
turn.
wrestling, you know, you're the good guy and then
Oh.
the fans hate you, so you go bad, and then you end up on a show with all a bunch of bad guys.
Exactly. So at that point, after the reunion, I'm like, all right, that's it for me for reality TV. You know, I've made my mark, you know, for good or for bad. And then this show ends up reaching out. A few different shows had reached out. Actually, Traitors season one reached out to me. But that was like right after Love is Blind. I mean, I didn't know what Traitors was then. Now, obviously, it's like, damn, that's actually a good show. Would have been sick to be on that show. But the problem was I was still under contract with Netflix and I couldn't take any other shows just after Love is Blind. So I was like, no, I can't. House of Villains came around a little bit later, and the filming and the time the show came out would have been after my contract ended, and I was free to kind of do whatever I wanted. So that's another reason that it worked out.
So let's talk about your career as a mortgage loan officer for a second, because again, we never had a vet on before, never had anybody who actually was a mortgage loan officer either. So what is the
Sure.
foundational work that goes into to doing that? Maybe the studying, the process behind it, and what would your like day-to-day look like in that
Yeah,
field?
why the drastic career shift?
So it's not even a shift. It's, you know, I'm still a veterinarian, right? So I'm still practicing as a veterinarian. What drew me to mortgages, there's a few things I'll touch on there. So the first one is I've been investing in real estate since I graduated from vet school. I bought my first property with a minimum down payment of 3% down, the same year I graduated from vet school. So since then, I added a few more properties to my portfolio. They're all rented out in Chicago, passive income there. So I've always been a believer in real estate. It's always been a part of my life. Now, how I got into mortgage specifically, that's an interesting kind of funny story. So I was at Soho House in Miami Beach last year, 2023. And I walk in, and this woman recognizes me, and she's like, "Oh my God, you're Shake. They did you dirty on that show." And I was like, "Thank you." I was like, "Yeah, they did do me dirty." You know, because so many people, like, just they take everything at face value and they don't do any kind of like independent analysis of it at all. And they're like, "Oh, this guy's bad. I hate him." But like, there's a good amount of people, you know, and I would say the more intelligent people, they kind of read between the lines. They, you know, they kind of see the real story behind there versus what, you know, what the show is kind of like portraying. And obviously, you know, this woman, Mama Jen, as I call her, she saw the real story. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, so then she's in mortgages. And months later, she had not just tickets, but a suite for the Taylor Swift concert in Atlanta. Now, I don't know if you remember how expensive those tickets were.
Very
They were
much.
tough. It was tough to get those tickets, right? And she has a suite. And I'm a total Swiftie. I have been since her first album came out, self-titled album, when I
I'm
was in
right there with you,
college, you know. So
man.
I'm, yeah, right on, right on. So anyway, I'm like, hell yeah, I'll come to this Taylor Swift concert. So, you know, I go to Atlanta, we're in the suite, and everybody in the suite is either a realtor or part of her mortgage team. And then there's me, right? And I'm just like talking to everybody, and like I know what I'm talking about because I'm in real estate too as an investor. So she kind of notices this and she's like, "Shake, why don't you come work for us? You know, I mean, I can teach you how to be successful at this." So I never went out seeking mortgages. It was more this opportunity arose to join a very successful team that, you know, I'm close friends with everybody on the team. You know, like I feels like a little family. So the opportunity kind of came to me. And so that's how it started, you know, to answer that question. As far as how to become a loan officer, so there is a quite rigorous national exam. It has like a like a 55% pass rate. So, like practically half the people that take it fail the first time. So it's kind of like, the gatekeeper to joining this profession just to start. Like if you're not serious about it, you're not gonna pass this exam. So there's this 8-week program that I sign up for to study for this test. And keep in mind, I went to vet school, right? And that was a lot of book learning. There was a lot of just like sitting and like consuming information like out of a fire hose. So I see this 8-week program and I'm like, I'm just going to do this in 2 weeks. So I just knock out this 2-week program, take my test, pass, and then that's it. You're licensed.
Very nice.
And then you get licensed in whatever states you want to operate in. So to start off, I got licensed in Florida. Obviously, it's where I live. Illinois, because I'm from Chicago and I have a lot of contacts there. Michigan, because it's such a hot area to invest. And Georgia, because my team is based out of Georgia.
Very nice. So, Joe, now you got to get this SoFi house in Florida and some doors open for
Okay.
you as well. So,
That's right.
Shake, do you think that reality TV hurt your business at all with veterinarian school, veterinarian practice? And would you be open to doing other TV shows in the future now? Now that you did a second show, I think you'd be really entertaining on a show like Big Brother. You'd probably be good on camera in there. So obviously Traitors, maybe season three, but yeah, it's a two-part question. Do you think reality TV hurt your career at all? And then if not, or if it does, are you open to doing more shows in the future?
So, do I think maybe in the short term it was stressful for the place I was working at in Chicago to like suddenly become public enemy number one? Yeah. And I ended up leaving that job and moving to Miami. I don't know. Maybe I hadn't have done that if the show wasn't an issue. But as a overall picture, I think it's only helped. It's like the positives have far outweighed the cons.
Yeah.
So, I moved to Florida, took a little break from being a vet, just kind of enjoying the limelight and getting to know a new city. And then, you know what? Let me just get licensed in Florida real quick. So I took that test and passed it. And now, I work a few days a week. I'm a kind of an independent contractor. I go to different hospitals that need me, and there's like one that I mainly work at, and it's great. I love it. I love the job I have now. It's in an affluent area. People recognize me there. They're always happy to recognize me, and or sometimes they might not recognize me when they first come in, but then I'll get a DM that like the next day, like, oh my God, I didn't realize it was you. You took such good care of Michi, and I said that because that's a DM I just got like a couple of days ago. This little dachshund came in named Michi. But then I got that DM like, oh, So overall, it's a big plus for me. Plus opening up new opportunities. Now I'm in real estate in the mortgage world. That probably wouldn't have came about
Right.
if not for the show. Like clearly I got recognized and it led to that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Shaker, I'm hoping we see you on some other shows in the future. Are you under any contract right now with A or anything, or you're a free agent?
So okay, yeah, you did ask kind of about other shows coming up. Now, would I be open to another show if like a cool opportunity came up? I would be, but I was just thinking about this. I was so lucky that for the two shows I was on, that I was in situations where my jobs let me go and do, you know what I mean? They had kind of the resources to let me like leave for a month, right? And I'm using up my PTO days and everything, right, to make this happen. I give them to make it happen, and it happened. But now, because I'm more in on the entrepreneur camp, employed as a veterinarian, Mortgage business is very much stay in contact with lots of people type of business. I just think it'd be a tough time for me to leave that. You know what I mean? Unless, you know what? Unless the money was really good, unless the money was really good, then you know, adjustments can be made.
Right. I mean, like some shows, the prize money is big, 750,000 to 1 million, but you got to negotiate it, of course. You're smart enough about your appearance fee showing up, because that's what it's going to come down to, of course. But yeah, that'd be interesting to see. I always wondered how we have a lot of reality stars on, and a lot of people who have done shows say the similar stuff to you, that it's just too difficult with their businesses after they've gone early on in the day. But for you, shaking your life or your career or your reality career, what would you say is your right moment? What do you mean by that? Is a time or place where you wanted to pursue something, you ask somebody for advice, they tell you it's an awful idea, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And in the end, you'll see why it is that I'm right.
I don't even have like a told you so much, because I've always been the type to just kind of like synthesize the information and take what I want out of it and just kind of do it. And not a lot of people kind of told me not to do stuff. You know, I have to say, my parents have always been, not to say they're like happy about half the shit I do, but they've always been like, all right, yeah. I mean, they probably see in me that like I can probably handle whatever it is that's coming up. Now, as an addition to that, yeah, after Love Is Blind, they weren't, you know, they after all the hate, so it was tougher on them than it was for me, because for me, yeah, I'm getting this online hate, but I'm getting like in my DMs like a lot of people who are like, bro, you were the realest person on the show. Like, you're a fucking legend. Like, if you're ever, you know, in town, I'd love to do this, do that. Like, so they're not seeing or experiencing all the pros that I was experiencing. So they were a little more like me when I said, hey, I'm doing the show House of Villains, but they was never like a don't do this per se. But I did have to kind of say, like, yeah, you'll see, like, this is going to be a fun one. Like, this is a hilarious concept. And they love the show. I mean, they're like super, super happy with how everything went. And they watched every episode live and things like that. So.
Well, you got the heart of a puppy doctor, a great personality, and you're a great interview. Shake, we appreciate your time. What we do here is we always give our guests the last word. So we know you got a lot to share, but if there's anything else you would like to personally promote for yourself, by all means, go ahead. Thank you for your time. You know you're driving right now. Nick and I have done this before, so we know how difficult it is to kind of answer questions and drive at the same time. But again, if there's anything else you would like to share, promote for yourself, by all means, go ahead. Thanks again for doing this with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on here. Not to promote or anything, I would just say, don't waste too much time before you buy property, because the prices are just going to keep going up. And if you think you can't afford it now, it's only going to get more difficult to afford as we go. So, whether you use me for your mortgage or someone else, just make sure you're thinking about that, because it's one of the most important investments you can make. And I just want everybody to achieve that dream of home ownership that most people have, but are scared to kind of pursue it. So if you have any questions on how to get started, let me know. Otherwise, I'm sure there's somebody wonderful in your area that can help you out.
All right. Thanks, Shake. Appreciate your time. Work on getting those mortgage rates down, because right now they are too high. But that's going to do it here for this episode of You
Yeah.
Know I'm Right, for our very special guest, Shake, my co-host, Joe. I'm Nick, and this has been You Know. All right.